Smile Talk season, y'all. So get ready for that. Chilling on the Hip Hop Digest show. Loving it, living it. One.
When Dilla came along, he kind of re-inspired a lot of producers, including myself, and then just, a new spark to producing. He was the new spark, like that, you know, came out doing some incredible things that people couldn't understand what the heck he was doing.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Color sitting here on the Friday night recording before the Super Bowl here in Charlotte. Boy, it's lit up down here.
I know y'all loving it down there, man.
Wait a minute. Don't say y'all, bruh. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan who's supporting the Carolina Panthers.
Okay. You supporting Cam and them?
Yes, I am.
Real talk, I'm rooting for Cam. I won't be mad if Peyton win, but I'm rooting for Cam. But I'm going to address this straight out, yo, before we even get into the show, yo. I don't fuck with Cam's wardrobe, yo.
Nobody does but him. Shit.
I don't give a fuck who designed them fucking clothes, yo. What the fuck is that?
Versace.
Yeah, he dabbing too damn much.
There you go again.
Act just like them niggas, huh?
Not
yoga pants, though.
Them ain't yoga, nigga. Them is yoking them.
I ain't trying to wear no Timberlands and baggy
pants. Got your
nuts
tight. The fuck is that?
I'm just not fucking with Cam's wardrobe. Wow.
Him and Brian Westbrook, or not Brian Westbrook, my bad. Him and Westbrook.
Westbrook.
They probably going to be doing fashion shows.
Westbrook, Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade too, damn it.
All these niggas.
All them niggas out there with them extra tight pants on.
Fuck that.
And they motherfucking kulaks and shit. What the fuck is that shit?
Boy. You want some eggs?
Damn.
Niggas wearing tight ass gauchos and shit.
Goodness. Oh shit, niggas said gauchos.
Yes, indeed. 3/4, my
nigga. Oh shit.
Extra long biker shorts and
damn,
shit.
Damn, fucking knickers and shit.
Say them jockey shorts.
That's crazy, no doubt. That's what's up. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Naughty by Nature headed to Kickstarter for their new album. Naughty by Nature is seeking $100,000 to assist with recording, mixing, and mastering of the album. Now, I'm going to stop Naughty by Nature right there. I'm going to stop them right there. Because ever since De La Soul, who got about 600,000, or maybe it was 800,000, something like that.
They got a lot of bread.
Got a lot of bread.
And we have to say that album still hadn't come out.
But they have a running blog, and as of today, it still update the blog daily for people who made a contribution. They're getting updates. Apparently, the album is recorded. And they're still getting feedback for all the people. But that notwithstanding, okay, there have been some people, obviously Elzad, who were, I guess it was something around 60 grand.
Elzad.
Yeah.
Ooh, right now people are trying to sue him because I guess he took the money and ran.
Well, you didn't hear about the update with that?
Allegedly. I don't know. I'm just saying allegedly. What's the update?
The update is that he has released the track list and one of the songs.
Okay.
So,
all right.
And I listened to it. So.
Okay.
It's happening.
Okay. So maybe he'll keep the lawsuit off his back. And something that went down with TLC, I don't keep up on that. But anyway, I think this, if you're not a group of a certain stature, you're not really going to get money like that. So, and I'm not saying that Naughty by Nature isn't Hip Hop Hall of Famers.
Naughty by Nature was very popular.
But
at one point, Naughty by Nature was more popular than De La Soul.
But
you down with OPP?
But unfortunately, there's pressure being put on them by groups like DITC, who ask for no money and has put out 3 records. Gotta be a classic, Make Them So Proud, and Diggin' Number. Excellent. All 3 of them for free on SoundCloud. Fuck all that asking for money. Put the fucking music out, done.
Can a brother eat though?
Brother, you, I'm sounding real hypocritical right now,
okay,
my nigga.
All right.
You giving De La a pass.
I'm giving De La a pass.
Exactly. Because, and you're not giving them a pass.
And
on
I'm gonna
it.
Tell you why I'm giving De La a pass. Because De La didn't just ask for money. De La asked for money with a certain set of principles. What they said is that we're not asking for 600 grand or whatever they ended up with just to record the album. They asked for that money, and the money they got is because they said, we're going to have real musicians come in and play things, then we'll turn around and sample the live instrumentation. So you got to pay all them other motherfuckers to come in and just play riffs and you know, vamp parts and all the things that De La Soul may want to sample.
Can I ask a question, though?
All right,
real life question?
No doubt.
Real life question. How long does it take to make an album?
It depends. I mean, with somebody like De La Soul, I'm going to go ahead and give them the allotted time due because of their track record. Okay?
Right.
Their track records of excellence.
Right. They have put out excellent music without, you know, a lot of donations and time. So, I mean, I understand you giving them a pass, but it's all the same, B. If you gonna get 600-800 G's, there should be some kind of whispers or something. Somebody
the
hearing
single
something.
Should have dropped by
niggas,
now.
Niggas want to see results. I get that, and you could get on De La Soul ass for that. What I'm saying, look, Naughty by Nature, fresh off beef. First of all, because Tretch and Vinny had serious beef. Okay? So they fresh off beef.
Where's the beef?
You know what I mean? And then so all of a sudden heading to Kickstarter. Look, this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they don't deserve it. But what I'm saying is that in today's environment, unless you're doing something like De La Soul is doing, saying we're not going to pay for any samples. We're going to have musicians come in and play joints. We're going to have different bands come in and the studio musicians. These guys need to get paid. I don't think Naughty by Nature is doing that. And in today's environment, you know what I'm saying? A couple of microphones and a MacBook Pro, that's the lab.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, DITC's doing it. Okay? And there's a lot of guys in the DITC, but they're doing it. Okay?
And I just want to make sure we ain't got no double standard. That's all.
And Tretch and Vinny.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, okay. And Tretch and Vinny, they got enough name and enough popping circumstances. You mean to tell me they just can't call it Preem? Just throw us a quick joint that we can throw on SoundCloud.
Oh, Preem. Gotta eat.
But Preem would be more than happy to do it, to get paid on the other end. That's all I'm saying. You know, for full disclosure, I'm a heavy De La Soul fan.
Yes, yes.
Heavy, we all are.
You know what I mean? And no disrespect to Naughty by Nature. That's not what I'm saying. I got plenty of Naughty by Nature vinyl in here.
Ooh, I'm a kitty cat.
You know what I mean? So, I'm just saying. I think that groups need to fall back off that a little bit.
I hear you, B, but I just wanted to make sure that you sounded a little hypocritical, and I want you to clear that up.
Okay, that's real. I'm just saying that Naughty by Nature, to me, is just asking for the money, and then De La Soul asked for the money, but these are the reasons why they asked for the money. And granted, somebody will say, well, they did ask. Here are the reasons. Recording, mixing, and mastering. And, you know, I got to give Naughty by Nature credit. Recording, mixing, and mastering is something that today's young boys don't do.
And maybe Naughty needs money for the studio time. Maybe they old school cats, so they want to go do it the old school
way. Oh, that's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe Naughty is not down with the mic and a MacBook Pro. Maybe you're right. So, you know, I fall back just a smidgen.
Right. I just want to hear the music.
Exactly.
I don't care about how much money somebody's giving.
If they get money and they should sound like it came off a mic and a MacBook Pro, then you'd be like, them niggas stole money, babe.
Right.
What the fuck is that?
Right, that's real. And that's not to say that Tretching them niggas don't. What's the name of that record? I forgot the name of that record. The 50-50 Boys or some them cats from Jersey that Tretch was on.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, fuck. I'm just off the top of my head right now. I don't know the name of the record, but Tretch is on it and sounds pretty good. So it's not like he can't get down. So,
right.
No doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is rest in power to New York legendary Keith Big Cap Carter, who passed away this week. Big Cap is one of those DJs out of that 90s. I mean, he was a little older than that, but he came to prominence in the 90s as being the DJ down at the Tunnel, and it coincided with the 1999 release Funk Master Flex and Big Cap Live at the Tunnel. That's very good. That's when labels were putting out label-sponsored mixtapes. Okay? What DJ Khaled is doing now, it all goes back to Funk Master Flex and Big Cap and those people who had labels actually putting out full mixtapes. So I'm going to say rest in peace to them, as well as one of my favorite covers of all time, the Big Cap and the Ladies, which we posted.
That cut is nice.
I like that. I like that record, and it's one of my favorite covers of all time. So
Big Cap.
People see it.
Yeah, of course, no doubt.
Didn't see it.
Now, if you're a real vinyl guy, you got it. I mean,
right,
you know,
there you go.
I don't know if anybody got that, but if you're a real vinyl guy, you got that.
Big Cap and the Ladies will get played on the show.
Oh, my man. That's what's up.
I will put that on it.
All right.
For cats that haven't heard it before.
Indeed, no doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Prince begins the vinyl reissue campaign with his debut album, For You. Modern Vinyl is claiming that it's a reissue series that will catalog much of Prince's past of recordings, at least from the 1980s, and you can pre-order your copy of For You right now. This is a key thing. Now, I'm a vinyl guy. You know we got a lot of vinyl. E-Color's a vinyl guy. Got a lot of vinyl. For the new jacks who are going to go out and get jammed up, just go out and get Prince. There's plenty of Prince out there that can be had for a reasonable price.
Original.
But I know these hipsters and shit. You know what I mean?
They just stick in your craw, don't they?
Man, look.
This nigga hates the hipsters.
Look, let me tell you something. Because I just know, you know, record stores are all, these new pop-up record stores, all run by hipsters. Remember that shit we went up in B-More?
Yeah.
Motherfuckers overcharging for shit.
Them niggas was tripping up in there.
Overcharging for just garden variety, Diana Ross and shit. Hipsters up in there paying fucking 10 beans for that shit.
Damn, I might need to start buying them joints for 50 cents, selling them for that much.
Nigga, I'm trying to tell you.
There's a market for
I'm
you, my
I'm trying to
nigga.
Tell you right Damn. Now with these
I'm
hipsters.
I'm about to be a middleman.
Tell you, these motherfucking hipsters, and now you got companies, you know, and I'm not saying that Prince don't deserve a vinyl reissue. I get it. I mean, right. I have For You. You know what I mean? I have all the quintessential Prince of that era, though. But I'm a vinyl guy. You know what I mean? Back in the 90s, you know, when you get that shit for a dollar.
Right. 50 cent now.
Well,
certain places.
Well, sir, I don't know. A lot of hipster spots up there going to have that Prince For You because of that blog posting. That shit went from $7 to $14.
Yeah.
Trying to tell you, my nigga.
Raping you.
So I'm just saying, at least up here, man, you got a lot of hipster spots. You know what I mean? The vinyl spot that was up the street from Joe's Record Paradise got torn down. You know, it's I'm just saying, yo.
Well, there's this place in North Carolina here called Asheville or something like that.
Word.
And it's kind of like in the mountains. And I went into a record store there, and I was like, oh, why am I in here, first of all?
Oh, okay. So what was it like? God. They didn't have any soul, or was it just country?
It was
or?
Tom Jones. It was rock. Rock, like, you know, Led Zeppelin, which, you know, if you like that, it's there. But
I got a lot of Led Zeppelin records too.
I think I saw Hammer.
So they didn't have the exclusive material.
There was nothing exclusive. But on the opposite of that, almost every single thrift store I go in, I could find at least two joints that I could walk out of there with, 99 cent or 50 cent.
Oh, okay, all right. So Charlotte,
classic.
So Charlotte still has the thrift store value.
Yeah. It's on lock. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's what's good. No doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Machine Gun Kelly. Me and Macklemore exist in two different worlds. Machine Gun Kelly is still talking about that whole Macklemore situation. First of all, my question is, before we get into the topic heavy, is Macklemore putting some kind of pressure just on white privilege on Machine Gun Kelly for some strange reason? Or is Machine Gun Kelly one of these motherfuckers like to talk all the time?
Machine Gun Kelly is probably like, yo, I'm down with the brothers 100. Okay. I can't be out here looking like I'm with that white privilege shit. Matter of fact, I'm gray, nigga. I'm not white.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Well, I'm gonna put it to you this way. My boy Kedar has said it many, many times. A hit dog on Yelp. So.
Well,
you ain't getting hit by it, you ain't got nothing to say.
Machine Gun Kelly said race is obviously an issue in the grand scheme of things, but the way I see music is I don't listen to Sam Cooke because he's a black singer. I listen to Sam Cooke because he's an amazing vocalist, and the content of his songs is beautiful, and I can relate. I don't know. When I look at this whole race thing, and I know we covered that ad nauseum on this show, I just... looking at it from a standpoint of a guy like Machine Gun Kelly, I'd be curious to know. There were some people who said Machine Gun Kelly claims Cleveland, I guess. He really wasn't born there. Claiming, you know, I'm just saying the whole thing about who this whole black pass, you know, who's gonna be the guy who's getting the pass from the hood, or who's the white guy who's getting the real pass? Because certainly Macklemore's not going to get it. I mean, certainly is the legends like him. But so is Machine Gun Kelly that dude that you could say, yo, Machine Gun Kelly, that dude in the hood from black audiences? That's my question.
I guess he wants to be. I guess he wants that hood pass. And he ain't trying to have Macklemore fuck that up.
I don't know.
Action Bronson, maybe he's that dude.
Right, yeah.
I'm just saying, that's the point I'm getting to. Who, let's put it on the table. Who's the white rapper who's getting the hood pay? Is it Riff Raff? Is it Slim Jesus?
B, you're asking people on the wrong show.
Yeah.
Nigga, we don't know.
Right now.
Because this shit, I have to admit, the shit that get played at the end of this show, at least 50 to 70% of the shit at the end of this show is either produced by a white guy, or white guys rapping on it.
Right.
Yeah, but it's race music. You never see their faces.
But it's not even that. It's pure hip-hop.
It's pure
that's
hip-hop.
Where it's coming from.
And so,
it's pure hip-hop. I don't give a damn what
color
they are.
So when I think about this, I'm not a Machine Gun Kelly guy.
And Machine Gun Kelly's playing in the wrong... Actually, he's playing in the wrong lane is what the problem is. He's trying to keep up with the bullshit that the stereotypes that black people got to keep up with.
That's true.
There you
that
go.
Is true.
See, that's what his problem is.
Yeah, he's... with it in too deep.
Right, he's way in too deep.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, so I don't, you know, it's very interesting, you know, no doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is White Privilege Part 2, and this is just something that me and Kerr G saw as we finished recording last week's show. We saw Static Selector and Crooked Eye on a video talking about the state, not really the state of hip hop, but how young guys, it's not even white privilege, it's just really privilege on how young guys are disrespecting the legacy, which is mostly African American and Latino, disrespecting the legacy, and how that they're not realizing that everything that they're dissing themselves. They're dissing, that is the reason why you're here. That's the reason why Vince Staples is rhyming. It's because of guys, whether it's Rakim or any number of groups in the 90s.
Right.
Okay. And the key thing along with that, just to give you food for thought, Kurt G had an interesting thought and was like, why is it that Kendrick Lamar and maybe sometimes J. Cole are the only commercial voices that you hear that are on a... Not a black power, not even a public enemy, but at least on a conscious level.
Right, it's bringing something different.
That doesn't change. That's historical. That's why you heard of Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and you didn't hear too much about Stokely and a whole bunch of other heads that was doing stuff. You know what I'm saying? They're just gonna, so we don't get all thrown off kilter. They gotta give you something. And that's not to diminish Dr. King or
there
Malcolm
isn't,
X, I'm just saying.
There isn't the balance.
There isn't the balance. There is the balance there. That's the problem to it. And I know I'm about to say some shit, but Kendrick Lamar is not that good. Kendrick Lamar in the 90s would be average. He would be a regular rapper.
That's how many times have we said
but
that
because he's doing something different right now, and right. He's bringing it in a different way that cats now think that he's all that.
Well, because do you see history repeating again? Remember we said that about T.I.?
He's all that when he's really not, but he is all that because he, compared to what his competition, this exactly. nigga sounds like God.
Exactly.
Musically, Kendrick Lamar aesthetically is on another level of these guys. The only person
he's actually rhyming.
I'm the only person
exactly. He's doing what people from an earlier era used to do. Was regular shit. You had to be able to do what Kendrick is doing now to even have for niggas to even listen to you. You had to be doing what he's right. doing right now.
Right. At least that.
At least what Kendrick's doing. Niggas had to at least bring some kind of competent lyric to the mic for niggas to even fuck with you on a hip hop level. Not commercial right. level, but on a hip hop level.
So, but I'm saying, but you only have maybe two on a commercial level. J. Cole, you know, who sometimes can be on that thing. Obviously Kendrick, only two on a commercial level. Everybody else is running and drugging.
Like yeah. I said, they got to give you something without going too far because they are still, you know, Kendrick and...
They don't have to give you anything, B.
Well, but they are. They are. And it's going to be that way until the artist, and I'm using that term loosely, until the artist decide on what... The artist and the fans decide on what's going to be heard and not a program dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be that.
I don't
but
know.
But they're going to not... It'll never just all be Migos. Never. Never. Even in T.I. with all that other foolishness, all them pack of 16 dudes, not what Mel Gibson said, but a pack of 16 dudes just dancing around in a video, dances, doing dances, and then there's T.I. and what, maybe Young Jeezy?
Hey, not even those niggas. I mean, I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Right. At that era, T.I. and Jeezy was doing... Was the better of what was going on at that time.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, keep going. Tupac and Biggie.
And you
keep
talk,
going.
On a commercial level.
Jay-Z and Nas.
On a commercial level.
Right. Those were the best that was doing it. It's cyclical, B. It just keeps happening for these two. That's why I say they'll give you two. Hmm. But all the commercially I'm talking about, but you ain't going to get nothing else. You're going to get a bunch of other stuff. So the balance is still way off, but it makes those... Two seems so great, and I'm not taking away from Nas or Jay-Z and none of that, but their status
but the greatness
is on such a different level commercially level. Because yeah. everything else was garbage.
I don't know, B. I just look at that, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist in that way. I don't know.
Just got to look at it. It ain't no conspiracy to it. I've always said you was right in your face. It ain't a conspiracy.
Yeah. It can't be. All you got to do is open your eyes and look at it.
Right.
No doubt. And certainly, as we said on past shows, certainly everybody can get on a positive, you know, anti-gun violence for one record.
Yep.
Anyway,
we're all in the same gang.
For 5 minutes, yeah. For 5 minutes, they can get on it.
No cussing.
Yeah, but it takes fortitude to actually continue to do it like a public enemy.
Right, right. Or, you know, all of that. Yeah, any of that type of music. Yeah,
right.
When it had its moment. They were about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because none of them slid off and did nothing else.
Right.
All right. Well, here we go. There it is. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Maurice White, Rest in Power. Earth, Wind & Fire frontman Maurice White. As I learned of his passing, I thought about what am I going to do that everybody else isn't gonna do. So I'll just run the stats down for you. Maurice White was born in Memphis, Tennessee in 1941. His teenage years, he moved to Chicago and studied at the Chicago Conservatory of Music, playing drums in local nightclubs as a teenager. Around the mid-60s, he found work as a session drummer for Chess Records. While at Chess, he played on the records of Etta James, Ramsey Lewis, Sonny Stitt, Muddy Waters, and a bevy of others. Okay. 1966, he officially joined the Ramsey Lewis trio. In 1969, they put out an album called Another Voyage. And it's a track called Huru, which is the first time that you'll hear Maurice White playing the kalimba. Okay. You'll see that on our page. Thank you very much, E-Color.
Yes, sir.
1969, he moved to L.A. and formed Earth, Wind & Fire, The Power Years, from 1971 to 1987. The Power Years. Hit after hit. Joint after joint. Album after album. Excellence in music. And dare I say, if you were born at a certain age, that is our parents' music. And guess what? We loved it.
Shit, that's the soundtrack to my life, B. Yeah, them songs are in there.
For real.
Not just our parents.
I remember living the whole life of them. Like crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's literally your whole life from birth until, you know, 14 at least.
Right, yo, and even in my grown life, down there at Wolf Trap, every year, live, even got to take my babies to that joint.
That's
to see
what I'm
them
saying. That's what I'm saying. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Maurice White, just incredible. There's just, what can I say? So my personal stories about Earth, Wind, and Fire, certainly Maurice White and that kalimba that he played. That's another thing you'll see posted. I actually went out and bought a kalimba. Okay, I've had it for some time. Every now and then I pull it out. I can't play a lick on it, but I just love the sound and the tone of the kalimba. Okay, certain records, obviously all of us could tell a story where we was, when we was, when we heard it. My mother used to work at a record store, and I remember like 73. I'm talking about like six or so, young, very young, running up and down Duke Street, Earth, Wind, and Fire in the background. My mom, a house full of knotheads, wine everywhere. It's 2 a.m. and I'm running up Duke Street. But Earth, Wind, and Fire playing. You know what I mean? And then two, as I sit here and I'm holding a tremendous stack of Earth, Wind, and Fire records. Again, sort of like a vinyl, you know, sort of, you know, if you're a real vinyl cat, you should already have these. You know what I mean? For you new niggas, I'm sorry, there's going to be an uptick in price, you know, because of the death. I'm sorry, y'all got to pay it. You know what I mean? But for all us veterans, we already got that. So there was
classics, originals.
Classic original. Now, we were talking about certain records, and somebody mentioned Reasons.
Yes. I'm going to be for full, no fronting on this show. I had to be in my late 20s when I finally realized that nigga was talking about cheating in that record. I mean, that's one of them slow jams that niggas get it into.
Buddy.
Was getting it into.
Now,
with your wifey, with your main girl. I was like, is this nigga really, is he talking about cheating?
He talking about cheating. Right?
Wow.
He talking about cheating, no doubt. Actually, think about that is that Earth, Wind, and Fire, up-tempo, and slow jams, I don't know if young guys is, I don't know, you know what I mean? Do they even play slow joints anymore?
No, sir.
They make plenty of slow songs.
You are listening to them program beats to make you drink and have sex.
They play plenty of slow songs, and these niggas talk about getting it in. There's no sensual romantic song.
Nah.
Not with these commercial niggas. These young niggas is talking about straight fucking.
Grunting and fronting.
And no bullshit. Nigga, we fucking. What's up, girl? Let's go do this.
Exactly.
No doubt. Wow.
Ain't no romancing.
Nah, I ain't. Fuck that bullshit, nigga. No whining and dining. Is you
want to drink
or not?
Wow. So, yeah, so
ain't no two slow cuts and then back to the jams. No, sir. That was our day.
Wow. So no reasons. What else? Earth, Wind, and Fire slow cut. Can't Hide Love.
Yeah.
I remember we looped that Can't Hide Love, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt. What else? I'm running through the stack of vinyl right now. It's just absolutely incredible. The amount of hits, you know, black hits, though. I mean, you know, get
right,
point blank.
Right, right.
I mean, this is strictly
soul music. That's when R&B
soul music.
Was R&B.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
These casts, again, these days, I mean, I don't even know what people really consider careers right now because everything is right now. We looking at right now. You know what I mean? When I say that, when we're looking at Drake, we're looking at right now. We don't know what Drake is going to be in 10 years. We're looking at right now. We don't know when none of these cats are going to be in 10 years. I mean, we can project, but these folks that we're talking about had 30, 40, 50-year careers, B.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what, though? I believe that, unfortunately, this is something where time is going to bulldoze some of that. I think that it's so easy for Drake, and with the new math, you know, it's so easy for him to put out an EP and a record every 6 months, that at the end of the day, Drake doesn't need a 30-year career, because in a 10-year career, he will have double the albums of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Then these niggas is basically iPhones. Every 6 months, something new come out, and the regular shit, other shit is old.
Yeah.
And they sell a lot of them because people want the new shit. But when you look back at it, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about,
well,
you're
now,
not thinking about the past. You're thinking about what's next, what's new, what is.
Is the data sustainable? Because again, like I said, as I sit here and I'm running through and I'm looking at different album covers, just crazy album covers, you know what I mean? The digital data, will it be sustainable? Or is somebody really going to look back in the archives and say, oh, Drake had a career that was fantastic for 15 years and he put out 20 albums.
Or they'll say he'll put out 200 mixtapes.
Or whatever, you know what I mean? Because now it's like, you know, when I think about these things and people just arbitrarily bring up a certain single, such and such single is 12 years old, or such and such was 8 years old, the 8th year anniversary is this, that, and the third. Are people really gonna really dig down, remember the wheezy torrents of mixtapes? Are people going to really deep down and dig and remember this future Drake shit? I mean, I don't know, you know? I'm just saying,
the
legacy of Earth, Wind, and Fire is so solid for us because it is a time that, number one, the music was vetted. Earth, Wind, and Fire, let me tell you something. They had a lot of pop hits, but their music was crazy complicated.
Pop was a different, it had a different meaning back then. I mean, it's the same thing, which means popular, but there was a different standard.
That's true, but I heard a high school music teacher said that he loves to teach Earth, Wind, and Fire songs to his band and to his class because the music, although it's pop, it's catchy, but it's very complicated. You have to be a musician of certain chops to be able to even play this shit.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? This is not the Fruity Loops push button jump off. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Ultimately, you know, is the Earth, Wind, and Fire legacy, is this type of legacy going to get buried and bowled over by the torrent of data that will come at us by the current artists, those Migos, Drake types? Because, again, you're right. Earth, Wind, and Fire, they might have put out an album, you know what I'm saying, once every year and a half.
Right. And while they were waiting, that one that they put out was still running.
Oh, well, shit. You had an album that was crazy for two exactly. years, 3 years.
But that was when times were different. It was more patience in the game then. Yeah. There wasn't nobody pressing these cats to have to put out something every 3 months. If your album coming out, like you said, every 6 months, you're putting out a new album, but every month you got to put out a mixtape, or you got to be on somebody else's shit so you can stay current. Niggas got to hear your voice or hear your name.
Social media.
Right, exactly. You got to be doing some dumb shit like Kanye and them and some beef with we or whoever the fuck. You know what I'm saying?
They
just
got
keep
albums
your,
coming
keep
out.
Your name out there. Just to keep
the
your
truth?
Name out.
You know what? And ain't that the truth? You know, ever since y'all niggas schooled me on this trolling shit, and I certainly refuse to talk about that Kanye shit, but I'm like, this nigga's got a record coming out.
Exactly.
Nobody sees this shit.
Nobody, he did right. You know exactly. What's happening? You know what's happening.
I should start doing beef shit with somebody
with
on
Combat
Sundays.
Jack and shit.
So they'd be like, oh, I got to listen on tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to hear what they say about Combat Jack this week.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Combat Jack. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, over some dumb shit. Like, you starting some bullshit. Ain't it about the content of your music?
Not Ye the Breakfast Show, though.
No, it's never about the content of the music, yo. So right. That's my question to the Hip Hop Digest listeners. Will legacies like Earth, Wind, and Fire be totally snowed over in the next 15 years by somebody like Drake, who probably will double the output of the Earth, Wind, and Fire albums?
See, there's two things here that you got to keep in mind. You're talking quantity, and I'm talking quality.
And thank you. Yeah, there's the wrong cue.
What you're saying is, if you want to talk about quantity,
Drake wins.
Drake wins.
Yeah, Hands down.
But you want to talk about quality.
Yeah, then there's no battle, just like there's no battle on the other side.
Talking about a ridiculous horn section. 16, right. 20 niggas on stage.
Two vocalists killing it.
No doubt. Indeed.
Yep. Hit after hit after hit after hit after hit. And I don't think any bricks. I don't think.
I mean, I think they had some bricks after 87, but it doesn't matter. Because again, yeah, the vinyl. Yeah, I'm just saying that's wrong.
You could erase that
shit. Come on, man. They done sold 90.
That up.
Yeah, they done sold 90 million physical albums, not and the again, new math.
Forget 90 million sold. I'm talking about they have put out music that our grandkids are going to hear somewhere along the way. Our great greats are going to hear it somewhere along the way. You're going to hear some Earth, Wind, and Fire. You might not be hearing Jeezy or somebody like that. You know what I'm saying?
Again,
and no offense to Jeezy. I'm just saying.
I'm still waiting, and I'm sure that there's somebody out there who's done it, but I haven't heard it. I gotta admit, I wasn't looking for it. But I haven't. No, hold up. But I haven't heard anyone, you know, put together like this greatest Master P Tank No Limit, you know, celebrations. Because you know why?
He had a good run, B.
He had a good run.
he had a run.
But he's my example of a lot of fucking every week. There was that new No Limit record out. Okay.
The glossy cover.
With the glossy covers. But how much of that material now is celebrated? There's a shitload of that material in the ethos, but how much of it is celebrated?
Well.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
We won't know.
Jesus Christ, they're still putting out reissues of J. Dilla Donuts.
Yep.
And that's one recording.
One.
Okay? But the Tank and No Limit is my modern day example. This is, hell, before the internet, he put out physical CDs.
Yep.
Every week.
Out the trunk.
We're selling a lot of them shits, though.
Sold a lot of that shit. But how much of that
of
shit
sport down there.
How much of that Silk the Shocker joint is being celebrated?
Oh, zero.
Oh.
Zero.
I'm
play
just,
that old 80s joint Saved by Zero because they get Nathan.
Saved by Zero.
So that's just my example of somebody who is very wealthy, put out a lot of fucking records. A lot of fucking records. I'm going to shout out to Diff because I know Diff has a lot of that No Limit material.
I got a lot of, what's them, Bring It Up, Blame It on the Rain, Milli Vanilli niggas too, but I ain't bragging about it unless somebody want to buy it.
Look, beyond Milli Vanilli, that's what I'm saying, yo. The physical, there's a lot of that shit out there. And just like the current crop of guys who are putting out records and mixtapes on a three-month cycle, is that shit, are we going to really break it down the way we break Earth, Wind, and Fire down? The way that people, whether if it's our mom's era or even our era, done put on Reasons tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Might get away. Evil. You know what I mean? Sun Goddess. I could sit here and read this shit for the next 10 minutes of joints.
Exactly.
Okay?
All quality.
So, yo, just one of my favorites of all time. Kerr G was like, yeah, nigga, you going in.
You're going to go in for Maurice White, man. I knew he was going to go in for Maurice White.
I mean, because
this is your man.
This is my man. You know what I mean? And Kerr G was a testament. Look at his stack, nigga. He's ridiculous.
It's a large a large stack of records over here.
You know what I mean? So that's what's up.
All I know is y'all niggas better respect Audrey. Stop playing. He's six god.
Okay.
Y'all better respect that nigga.
Okay.
All right.
The All-Star game is coming to his town.
Where's the remote?
Y'all know it.
Fast forward that shit you talk about.
You know what? Let me get into I respect Aubrey's business sense as a businessman. He's very wealthy, and I respect the fact that he has a lot of money. Can I do that?
You ain't gonna respect the fact that nigga should be performing at the All-Star game.
Can we go on?
No, I'm just saying. You wanted me to respect him. I respect his hustle game. Okay? His contracts at Apple Music, $19 million, is incredible. Congratulations.
You know, it's Tim Duncan's in a suit, but he's still on the court. What the fuck? Damn.
That's what's good. Kerr G, here we go. Albums of the week.
All right. This week, We got Bad Luck and Amp on the beat, Breathe. And we got Deciano Falling Forward. And as the instrumental joint, we got Core Aesthetic Variants, Aesthetic Instrumentals Volume 4.
So before we get out of here, Kurt G promised me we could play one Earth, Wind, and Fire at the end of the show. I don't know what I'm going to play, yo. I'm so torn.
Oh, without question.
And it's obviously, so many. Yeah, Big Cap and the Ladies, no
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah, that's being played.
And two, before we get out, yo, I just wanted to address this here. I got some leftover Twitter shit here, if you could believe that. Leon X said, come on, fellas, no one pulled up Cosby Star on the Walk of Fame. Now, fellas, E Color bring that shit up.
Oh, damn.
So if you want to get
it. I'm the bus, but I already jumped out of the way of the bus because I was already had Twitter fingers apologizing for doing exactly what the fuck I was railing against.
Oh, okay. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I was surprised as shit when you said that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a picture of it, but I got trolled. I just ran out there. Okay. I didn't do the whole shit.
You
like
stepped
I said,
out there so. In front of that bus.
Yes, I saw it. I went ahead and took the sword and Harry carried that shit. Right after he said that.
Oh, no doubt. And speaking of star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, guess who else got one?
Who be that?
Earth, Wind, and Fire, my niggas.
Well, there you go.
So, I want...
What? I'm sorry, but Kurt, didn't you have something that you wanted to comment on before we get out of here?
What was that?
Kurt G ain't know, got nothing.
I thought you had a mini rant on something.
Oh, no, that was at the beginning. When we got in on your boy on them pants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was them pants in the beginning. Like, what the hell you doing, Cam?
Well, as we are recording before the game, you can imagine if they have won this game that there will be plenty more of that kind of pants wearing.
Oh, my God.
And apparently, Nicole checked it out. That she went on the website to find them pants. Them shit sold out.
Ooh,
so copycats are looking.
It's bad enough that the nigga got half the planet dabbing and shit.
Ain't nobody trying to wear baggy pants in Timberlands with a bubble goose and a Yankee fitted.
Ain't
nobody trying to wear yoga pants. Football pants tight enough.
My fucking granddad is wearing Tim's and baggy pants. I'm not dressing like my granddad. Man.
Fuck y'all old ass niggas.
That's all right.
Look at that bullshit y'all niggas be doing. Y'all can't let us young niggas live, can you?
Yes, you go right ahead and live.
I don't know how much longer in cutting off your circulation like that.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man, that's incredible.
Cue that DMX. Cue that Jada Kiss. God damn.
Yo.
Niggas up to dinner and shit.
New type of rapper. Yo, man, I wonder if Cam would be offended if somebody sent him some baggy pants and Tim's.
He'd probably look at it and throw it away.
Yeah, what am I supposed to do with that shit?
Right.
What you want me to do, cut the grass in them
this,
shit,
this,
nigga?
You meant to send this shit to one of them damn offensive linemen.
Nigga, fuck that.
And shit, they probably wearing tight ass shit too.
I need to feel my pants. Oh, I want to feel them shits at all points in time.
Damn, skin lycra. Ooh,
skin tight?
Dance skin.
All right, that's what's up. I guess we'll see y'all next week then, right?
Yes, sir. But before we do get out of here, there is two things. First thing is, before I run, do not forget, folks, please give us a rating on whatever format you listen to us, iTunes, Stitcher, all the rest of them, Boom, Audio Boom, any of them. I'm sorry I missed, but whatever you listen to us on, please take a moment to rate us on there. And then the second thing before I run, before these dudes catch me, is I snuck some video up on YouTube of us listening to some new music that Kurt G threw at us. So on that note, I'm going to be out.
Oh, now who's on the video?
Uh-oh, you knew he was going to get you, nigga. You wasn't going to slide out with that one.
Who's on the video?
He wasn't going to slide through
like
with it.
If you'd like to place a call.
Oh, no, nigga.
Yeah,
no,
yo.
Nigga. You know you ain't getting away with that one.
Who's on the video?
I mean, you just going to have to check it out.
Oh, man.
Oh, damn. It's on YouTube, you said?
It's on YouTube.
You don't put me on, no.
Just go to Twitter. Just go to Twitter.
Man, fuck. B,
you done fucked up his whole night now.
Nah, you good, you good.
You all
good,
good, my nigga.
You happy.
All right.
Next all right, week.
Well, actually, yeah, I got to run because it looked like the Dallas Mavericks and the San Antonio Spurs is about to be boxing out this joint. I don't even watch basketball, but this dude got his feet all in this dude's face.
Damn.
I'm not even joking what I just saw. But anyway, right, yeah, that's it. If y'all want to get a quick peek at us listening to some music behind the scenes, you better hurry up before they make me take it down.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, nigga.
They might not even get to see this shit.
it's up there while you're talking.
All right, B.
All right, peace.
All right, next week, man.
Mad motherfucking hardcore. Word up. Hollow gang, bang, freeze in my blood. Mad motherfucking hardcore. Cause you hear it, but you don't know how to handle this. Hardcore.
I don't think you niggas is ready to.
It's mad motherfucking hardcore. Word up.
You are now rocking with the best, G, and then some. Powder blue Cortez, picking through my dim sum. Thumbing through wild topics, chopsticks for the brothers. How I became the greatest and how you became to love it. Styling in a two-tone Nike sweatsuit, I'm lukewarm. Old school like bitches with the jupe on. Cut them like a coupon and move on. Killers, I'm from that city. Black power born and bred to do our ditty. Young and I get the gun and you put luck on the line. Have me throwing back on these dickies, upsetting my mom. DLG still on that page, now what it do? Hit that corner like braids, the fades is what it do. Rap like I'm schizo, sicko with the sick flow. First rhyme I wrote, I buried it and grew a pistol. Dumbing out the booth, they hate to pay for a verse. I get to snapping on these niggas, better throw in the hearse. That's on the real, nigga.
Mad motherfucking hardcore.
Word up.
Mad motherfucking hardcore.
Cause you hear it, but you don't know how to handle this.
Hardcore. I don't think you niggas is ready to.
It's mad motherfucking hardcore.
Word up.
I ain't never been shook, nigga. Luck don't move. I'm third person this whole verse. Luck don't lose. I swear to God, I stayed up praying. Please spare him. Let's talk about it over salmon. And I'm not sharing. Scary niggas started stuttering. Using big words next. And since I don't understand him, I'ma take him with disrespect. Now watch your mouth, nigga. I ain't all raps, I get to slicing. Put that on my writing. I'm a 3-5-4 titan. Bird caller order, send it down. I get the dicing. And I ain't on that pack outside, bitch. I'm a Viking. Illest nigga doing idiot shit in my Cuban. Ruin every chance to pastor my doings. I influence by the street I'm spewing off. Pussy boys start screwing off. I don't want my crew involved. Knock you out them U.S. dog. Stand out and tussle the block lit and I'm loaded. 30 eyes strong if amp lit, I quote it. Diamond in the rough. At 15 skinny niggas climbing out them cuffs. Watch niggas had enough. I stand on the top of the hill and say what's up. I done earned my respect. I was stand by corrupt.
In chronological form, I'm a format.
Can't sweat on my buff. King of the snuff. Heavy nigga, heavy handed. Heavy on the clutch, bitch nigga. Bad luck, you better praise me. It's like a gang of Crips and Ice Cube praise me.
Some of what emerged today was not a surprise to the BBC, namely that a former Met officer, Detective Sergeant John Davidson, is suspected of corruption. In 2006, the BBC broadcast allegations made by a colleague of Mr. Davidson that he'd been taking bribes in the form of protection money from the father of one of
So let's track back
killers.
20 years, April 1993, two innocent teens walked home and wasn't surprised to see the day. We're a little bit late, they had to catch a bus for them, though that bus never came. But let me back it up, the two youths walking were named Stephen and Dwayne from Elton, South London, a known racist terrain. And these two brothers were as black as they came, but two were the nicest people, let me further explain. Now, Stephen came from a strong black family. You all worked hard, went church and lived happily. He was a good soul who loved life and music. Described as a wonderful youth and great student. As I was saying, they were waiting for a bus. And 5 or 6 white boys started making up a fuss. Shouting racial abuse and approaching them aggressively. One of the whites pulled out a knife to slice terribly. Dwayne went off, Stephen Lawrence held proud. Trying to talk him round, but they just beat him to the ground. They stabbed him twice, one in the left and the right. Into his chest cavity, missing his windpipe, but the 6-inch wounds meant the damage was irreparable. It's sick and it's terrible, the pain was unbearable. Attacks like that, my anger level's incredible. But the pain of Stephen's parents, that shit is unmeasurable. Dwayne and Stephen were attacked for one reason, they were black. Pain was easing as his soul started to leave him laying flat. Feeling freezing, clothes soaked from all the bleeding. Dwayne pleaded for assistance in severe shock, disbelieving. It don't stop there either. Police came on the scene and blamed Dwayne as the main geezer. While the racist thugs just got away, the police stood there like they forgot and first aid. They made no attempts to save that boy. He died on the roadside. Lord, praise that boy. Why you let them fascios take that boy? I hope they burn in hell and can't escape their oil.
the police investigation after that was a joke. They knew who done it and where they were resting at. They never backed the corners of the victim with the evidence, and what was going on was institutional intelligence. Pure negligence, policeman and numpties, just another racist company in our country. Trust me, they call us criminals and junkies, but they're the ones misusing the power with their fuckeries. Now a breakthrough in the way forensic evidence is tested means two men got arrested and sentenced in 2012. Although we accept this, we're not allowed to be proud, cause three or four other youths surround him as well. It ain't full justice until they're found in a cell. I bet them fuckers got a grin like they coming off a win. Killed the innocent youth cause of the colour of his skin. Well fuck that, I ain't having it. This story should be told, so I'm rapping it. Corrupt police, racist gangs isn't half of it. And still, yeah, life isn't fair, yeah, it's sad, innit?
Prosecution has opened this case and the trial of two men accused of murdering the black student Stephen Lawrence in South London 18 years ago. Jury Bill Bailey was told that he was the victim of a totally unprovoked racial attack by a gang of white youths.
Son, I know we've had our differences, but don't keep me from my son. He's mine just as much as yours, so let me see our son. I fight for custody if I have to. You can't rob me of my son.
I come from a broken home. passion could capture me. To crash the scene is blasphemy. I'll leave it out, agree to disagree with the 33rd degree. Fuck a rapping scene, rapid iron, fire passing by him. I sip a glass of triumph, refuse to die young. Even though my lungs are like a science project, a byproduct of cyber optics, the fire flying object. Sire popping, it came to box, left them shining boxes. Changed my socks like Mr. Rogers. I'm obnoxious, neighbors call the cops. We call them off, cause we call the shots. Kids, Stone Orchard, glimpse of an old portrait. His story was told, but surely not told often. What you were caught in, wrong and the wrong men, nothing to show corporate. The road we drove off it while I hold coffee. Blonde monks, some guy barely live in a side trunk, sized up by the cop beside us. Won't keep my eyes low, just drive slow. Smile, I pull my bow and arrow by the Verrazano narrow. This is my token zero, called about the golden arrow. Paired with Alucard, on with entourage. Us Irish boys got more bombs than bars. Kinda sore at the art of war in a tough suit, not with the charter saw. Walk your ass off the
when I'm pissed, you're at high risk. When I'm pissed, you're at high risk. A crisis, a cancer, a virus, a broken nightsticks. I snap the handles off my ice picks. I bent all my knife tips. I come from behind kids. I give the little scrawny necks a nice twist. Like you're trying to unscrew jaws with tight lids. So hard, you strain the muscles in your right wrist. The looks on the lifeless faces will be priceless. You couldn't eavesdrop from my scripts. You hired psychics with mind tricks and private eyes with spy kits. Taking flicks from sky disc. When I spit something seismic size hits. Provocative, you and I are the opposite. I feed the goldfish to the bird and make you watch the shit. Feed the bird to the cat and have him swallow it. I feed the cat to the dog and feed the dog chocolate. Cause I'm so positive, the love I got to give is moderate. There's not a lot of it. Plot twist this, why stinkers got figures. Two fangs and why stingers, jot scriptures. Five fingers chopped through solid rock fixtures. Paranoid, they may be after ya. Shady character, like J.D. Salinger. I manifest what every person fears. He perseveres to ruin lights and hurt careers.
Sound go down around the town, call the beat down the moon. ill as alcohol and raise the blades. When I play CeeLo, two sixes on the dice. I call my hit with a knife and no let come out of night. I'm not a soul train pain. Fuck it, you love it, and if you don't fuck it, you went double and kick it well like a muffler. You niggas already know me from the doo-wop brothers. My brothers, this is from the sisters. Make space, cause you need guys to let you know who's like running the place.
Then my eyes burn, tears in my eyes burn. While L waited, while L waited for her turn. So I could bring it to you straight like this. Well, hey, star, I'm once, twice, maybe three times your lady. I do a hustle plus have time to make your babies niggas be like on some shit where